Ignition running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. Delighted to have you with me. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-973-7425. As always, if you text ENGAGE to 33777, you can get tickets to the gathering. We've only got about two more days that we can sell tickets to the gathering. Because we got to vet everybody through security because a couple of the guests who are coming who I haven't been able to tell you about yet. If you text ENGAGE to 33777, you can get a ticket. It is the night of August 8th and then all day the 9th and 10th. Looks like I won't have very much downtime. I'll be on stage all day Friday and Saturday, but that's okay. It's worth it. Delighted to have you with me today. I got to begin with the Olympics. Before I do that, though, if you hear like thuds in the background, you shouldn't because I have a very good microphone. But if you hear thuds or knocking in the background, you should know that I'm about 10 stories off the ground and there is literally a man outside my window hanging by cables washing windows. I wasn't sure what it was. I opened the blinds and nearly screamed. There is a man eye to eye with me. I was not expecting that. But nonetheless, I am very impressed. Very impressed. I hate heights. He's cleaning my windows. He'll get a pass. Y'all, I was not expecting, like, what is this knocking? And I raised the window to look outside. There's this dude, like, eye contact, like, ah! Okay, we got to begin. One of the hallmarks of postmodernism is words create reality. You got to understand that words create reality. It's a Marxist understanding, and I don't use that word lightly. It actually is a Marxist philosophy derived from Karl Marx, that if you believe your situation is good, but someone changes the words on you, you can be made to believe your situation is bad. If you believe the sky is blue and everyone around you tells you no, the sky is green and the grass is blue, you'll eventually come to call the sky green and the grass blue. It's a hallmark of postmodernism derived from Marxism that it is words that create reality. Reality does not exist but for words. The reality must be articulated and how you articulate it matters. You have to understand that to understand what's happening here. So at the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games, everyone saw a scene from The Last Supper using drag queens and trans performers, and people were offended. Even the Ayatollah of Iran was offended. Jesus is a prophet in Islam. And even the Ayatollah complained. And what did the French do? They say it did not happen. That it was actually the Feast of Bacchus. Now, Sortie Paris is a tourism website. And it had a rundown and a preview of the program. Now, you should know that in the official program, if any of your friends come back from the Olympics and they went to the opening ceremony, they will have a copy, if they attended the opening ceremony, of the official program. And the official program title that was seen on television at the time, on the cryon at the bottom, was La scène sur une scène sur la scène. La scène sur une scène sur la scène, which means the Last Supper on a stage on the Seine, the River Seine. The Last Supper on a stage on the Seine. So why did they name it the Last Supper if it was a bacchanalia? Well, this is the story of Paris. It was a tourism website for Paris, and on the day of the Olympic Games, had a rundown of what you would see at the Olympic Games. What it says is on Passerelle de Billy, is a familiar scene reenacted by drag queens, including the famous Nikki doll surrounding Barbara Butch at her turntables, a recreation of The Last Supper, another famous painting by Leonardo da Vinci, set against the backdrop of the Seine. As you may have guessed, this is a multiple pun in French. A fashion show follows, paying homage to the capital of fashion. That is Sortira Paris. That was their website beforehand. Now, what's so notable about this is after all of the outrage, they've deleted that article. What's so interesting, if you go to their website, you can find references in different languages to a familiar scene led by Nikki Doll surrounding Barbara Butch on her turntable. It's in different languages, but if you were to click through to the articles have those paragraphs now deleted. And then there's Barbara Butch as well, who was the performer at the center at the table where Christ would sit. And on her Instagram, noted, oh yes, the new gay testament. And she had a picture of herself surrounded by the drag and trans performers and a picture of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper of Christ. But then the director came out and said, no. This was based on another picture of a bacchanalia of the Greek gods. And she deleted that. And now it says, we'll forever be proud and support this moment of art reference, the Feast of the Gods. So before the outrage, they were willing to say the Last Supper. And after the outrage, they said, I don't know what you were seeing. You were seeing something else. You weren't seeing the Last Supper. You were seeing another painting that itself was mocking the Last Supper, but we were actually using that painting, not the painting of the Last Supper. It wasn't about the Last Supper. The tourism guides said it was the Last Supper. The actual cryon, which is notable because the Olympics have now demanded that everybody take down, under their copyright, the depiction. If you go online and you try to find the video now on YouTube, you get this doesn't come up. If you pull up the video on Twitter, it won't play. You'll get a notice due to copyright. You're not allowed to play it. What the cryon said was Le Seine sur Unseen sur la Seine, which in English means the Last Supper on a stage on the Seine. It's in the program. This is postmodernism. They now deny it. They say they didn't. They're sorry if you were offended. They didn't offend you. Beforehand, the tourism guide was willing to say that it was about the Last Supper. They've now deleted it. If you go in, you can see the links in the search engine for that website. But if you actually try to scroll through, they've deleted the paragraph. It's remarkable gamesmanship. But there's a larger issue here, because this goes to the entirety of the left's tactics about everything and how they intend to manipulate you. And this is why so many people are believing conspiracy theories. So, for example, this is a political example today. The Politico this morning is running a headline, Harris campaign pledges she won't ban fracking after Trump accusation. Trump allegations come as Kamala Harris is expected to moderate her position on energy issues after she had been one of the more liberal candidates running for the party's nomination. It's not a Trump accusation. Kamala Harris in the 2020 Democratic primary came out in favor of banning fracking. She said it on CNN. She would ban fracking. So it's not a Trump accusation. It's actually Harris's position. Well, after Andy, K-File, Kaczynski at CNN pointed out the revisionist history of the Politico headline, Politico has now changed the headline. What the headline now says is Harris campaign pledges she won't ban fracking. Trump's allegation comes as Kamala Harris is expected to moderate her positions. They still refuse to note that Kamala Harris actually did say she wanted to ban fracking. And so what they've done now is they've appended a note at the bottom and it says, background, Trump's allegations come as Harris is expected to moderate her positions on energy issues after she had been one of the more liberal candidates running for the party's nomination for the 2020 election. It never actually says that Kamala Harris actually did explicitly call for banning fracking, which she did. This is Politico revising history. They're doing the same damn thing that they're doing with the Olympics. It was the Last Supper beforehand. The travel guide said so. The Cryon on television said so. The program for the Olympics said so. The drag performer on Instagram said so. And then there was international outrage, including from the Ayatollah Khomeini himself from Iran, because Jesus is a prophet in Islam. And now, no. She deleted that and put up, this was about something else. They've deleted it from the travel tourism website. They've come out and they've denied it. They've memory holed it. NBC News ran a story about it, that it was drag performers recreating Da Vinci's The Last Supper. And when they came out and said, no, we weren't doing that, NBC News ran a story and said, conservative Christians say it was about The Last Supper, but the director says it had nothing to do with The Last Supper. So then why did you originally report it as The Last Supper? Or GovTrack with Kamala Harris in 2019. They listed Kamala Harris as the most progressive United States senator. It's a nonpartisan website, and GovTrack has deleted that from their website now. It doesn't exist. You can find Nora O'Donnell on television asking Kamala Harris about the nonpartisan website GovTrack, saying you're the most progressive senator, and Kamala Harris has an awkward laugh about it and no response. But you can't find it on GovTrack's website now, because they've deleted it. Look at the revisionist history of the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. You have the left quibbling over what he got shot with. And finally, the New York Times, to its credit, and I was surprised over the weekend, a forensic analysis says Trump was most likely hit with a bullet or fragment from a bullet, noting that contrary to initial reports, the teleprompter was never shot by the guy. The teleprompter never shattered, so it couldn't have been the teleprompter. Had to be a bullet. The left wants you to not believe reality. Or think about the drag queen story hours. It's not happening, but when it does happen, it's a good thing. You know, this is the pattern of the left. We deny that it's happening. We refuse to acknowledge it's happening. If it was happening, though, it was a good thing. 2 years later, they're like, of course it's happening, you bigot. Why do you hate drag queen story hour? What happens is people who keep seeing this stuff and then see it deleted, they begin to turn to conspiracy theories. People don't trust the truth anymore. Now, there is a simple solution to this, and that is to speak the truth. You know, in Scripture, one of the verses about make your yes be your yes and your no be your no. What that actually is in reference to is the pagan culture of Rome, which, you know, hey, I got a whole book, You Shall Be as Gods, that covers this. In Roman times, in paganism, very much like postmodern times, words constructed reality. And your yes might not actually mean yes, and your no might actually mean no, and there are great suspicions of people. And the result was, here comes this newfangled religion, Christianity, where the leader of the religion and his apostles are saying, you got to speak the truth. When you say yes, you have to mean yes, and when you say no, you have to mean no, because it contradicted the pagan culture of the time. It's one reason that so Christians were told not to be litigious, not to sue each other. Roman society, lawsuits were sport. When they weren't in watching the gladiatorial games, they were in court watching people sue people. The lawyers became very famous. The lawyers were considered entertainers. And so the early Christians were admonished to not reflect that culture around you. Let your yes be your yes, your no be your no. Let your truth be the truth, not your truth, but the truth. And it stood in stark contrast to the pagans. We're seeing the paganism of the Olympics. You know, the early Christians also didn't participate in the Olympics. And the Roman emperors, once they became Christian, they banned the Olympics because they were dedicated to the pagan gods and used to celebrate the pagan gods. If you're a person of faith, you should think about these things. I'm not saying don't watch the Olympics. I think you should. It was fantastic watching the Israeli judo player take out the arm of the Turkish player who refused to shake hands with him. And the Americans are beating up everybody. It's great to see. We're winning. But we should also be mindful of what the truth is. And what we're seeing with the left is they don't care about the truth. They care about the usefulness of lies to get their way. And we should be on guard from that, whether it's defending Kamala Harris or revising what happened at the Olympics. What we are seeing is a postmodern left lying because they believe a lie can recreate reality to their benefit.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Okay. So I got the story a little bit wrong here, and thank you to Taylor for sending me this. So a judo competitor, it was not Turkey, it was Tajikistan. A judo competitor from Tajikistan refused to shake his Israeli competitor's hand before beating him at the 2024 Paris Olympics, and then was subjected to immediate karma when he was beaten and left in tears in the next match. Israeli judoka Baruch Shemilov won his first match in the men's under 145 weight class against Morocco's Abdurrahmani Bushida, who declined to shake his hand. He then faced Tajikistan's Nurali Imamali in the 16th round. The Israeli lost to Imamali from Tajikistan, who also left the mat without shaking the Israeli's hand. And he also said, Allahu Akbar. The Israeli athlete was eliminated after that. And then the guy who yelled, Allahu Akbar, competed against Japan's Hifumi Abe, who left him in tears on the mat with an arm injury. So it wasn't the Israeli. Okay, see, you can't believe everything you read online, kids. Thanks to Taylor for sending me. But still, the guy yells Allahu Akbar, beats the Israeli, and then the Japanese guy dislocates his shoulder. Good. These are the things you're missing at the Olympics. I'll be just honest with you, though. There aren't a lot of the summer sports that I care for. I love the skeleton in the Winter Olympics. I love the Winter Special Olympics. The one-legged skiers is just, it fascinates me. The surfing's kind of cool. I'll pay attention to golf and the shooting, but there just aren't a lot of the Summer Olympic Games that I particularly care for. So in any event, I got to move on. Before I move on, though, I got to tell you about Vision Computers. Let me focus on back to school right now. So first of all, I got a lot of new listeners here. If you need tech support and you can't afford tech support, your company can't hire an in-house IT guy, if you call Vision Computers at 404-COMPUTE, or go to visioncomputers.com. For $179 a year, they can be your in-house tech support per computer. You don't have, not a month, not a week, just a year. Vision Computers is great. They can help you so any of your employees can call Vision, and in 15 seconds or less, faster than Google search, get the answer of what to do with their computer. But if your kid's headed to school this year and you need a good computer for your kid, think about Vision Computers because they can build one up to spec that will last a very long time so you're not constantly having to get a new computer for your kid and it's not constantly outdated. Call them at 404-COMPUTE or go to visioncomputers.com. They're very affordable. They're well-built. We've got one for my kid who puts it through its paces every single day, and it just works. Their tech support is just fantastic, and if you buy your computer from them, you get that tech support completely for free. It's 404-COMPUTE is the number, 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. If you tell them that I sent you, you're going to get an even better deal.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you would like to be on the program, is 877-973-7425. You are welcome to call in. Can't guarantee you're going to get on, but you can try. By the way, I want to say something real quick. As all of you should know, if you were listening on Friday, I wasn't here. I was working, but I was doing something special. On Thursday, as I mentioned to you, I was helping with the annual fundraiser my flagship station does for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. It is the largest research facility in really the world for children's sickle cell anemia, and one of the largest for childhood cancers. On Friday, I was there the whole time, couldn't pre-record the show, was there the whole time, and the Carathon raised over $2 million. And many of you contributed, so thank you very, very much. It was a phenomenal group effort for my flagship station, their staff, so many volunteers. Y'all, just as an aside, just so you understand, so this facility is one of the – a lot of people think of St. Jude, obviously, because they do the math fundraisers and stuff nationally. Children's in Atlanta doesn't get the attention that St. Jude's does, but it is a massive facility, and kids from all over North America go there for treatment, not just the Southeast. It's one of the top three facilities for childhood cancers, but it's spread over multiple campuses. So they're building one big facility. And at the end of August, about a month from, into September, like 60 days or so from now, they have to, because of federal regulations on the care and transportation of patients, they've got to move several hundred patients in a 12-hour period, and they're basically shutting the streets down in metro Atlanta over a 12-hour period for this hospital to be able to transport a bunch of sick kids from multiple facilities to this one new facility. It's going to be a wild, wild thing to watch. They're going to do it on a Sunday, so traffic won't be as terrible. But literally, they're going to whole parts of the city traffic will be shut down for a day because the federal government requires when something like this happens, it's got to be done in a 12-hour period. It actually is – they're having to comply with a bunch of rules to be able to make it happen over 12 hours. Phenomenal, just effort and a great, great facility. So thanks, everybody, for your help. And I know they got a lot of donations from around the country from you guys, not just from the metro Atlanta area. So thank you. Now, I got to move on because there is other news out there. I'm going to come back to the politics and the questions of the candidates and all of that. But there's other news out there that you need to know about, and everybody gets so obsessed about the political headlines, everybody forgets the other stuff. One of those is Venezuela. So there is a tie here for politics. Joe Biden has run the worst foreign policy shop of any administration, including Jimmy Carter, in probably the last 100 years. Oh my gosh, the guy is back outside my window. He's kicking the window. Holy cow, I wish I could turn my camera for those of you on the live stream. If you're just tuning in, there's a man literally standing outside my window, cleaning the windows. He is dangling from a rope. He's not on one of those pad things. No, he is dangling from a rope. He's on a he's got a harness on, and he is washing my windows. See, if you hear noise in the background, this is very disconcerting. I do not like heights, and this man is literally hanging by a single, there's not two ropes. This is one rope. I gotta look the other way. This is going to freak me out. This is really going to freak me out. Is one rope and a harness. Okay. All right. Venezuela. Let me reboot. Let me focus here. Oh Lord, please be with this man outside my window. Joe Biden is a disaster when it comes to foreign policy. Joe Biden agreed because he wanted to lower the price of oil to help his reelection that he would allow the Venezuelans to sell oil on the market around sanctions and boycotts, and in exchange, Venezuela would give a fair election. So Venezuela's election was yesterday, and not only was it not fair, but the exit polling came out that showed a blowout for the opposition, so much so that they shut down the polling locations and told everyone they had to leave, that the election was over. So Maduro's government is Nicolas Maduro, who now leads, having replaced Chavez down there, he threw everybody out, shut down the polling. The elections board there stopped counting votes and declared him the winner. For those of you who say the 2020 election in this country was stolen, here's you an actual stolen election. They stopped counting the votes. It's like Fulton County, whatever. They stopped counting the votes, threw everybody out, sent the military in, and say, oh, looks like he won. They were able to do this because Joe Biden allowed them the money, and the money has been going in to prop up this regime. Venezuela may, in the next 24 hours, head to civil war. The regime there will be backed by the Chinese and the Russians. The whole world sees what happened, and we are impotent to do anything about it. Yep, here I'm seeing this from the U.S. Sun that Putin has already pledged recognition for the Maduro regime and cautioned the world on trying to do anything about it. It appears that it's so overwhelming, though, the people of Venezuela are so ready for a change that there's probably a war's going to break out. Now, keep in mind, this is happening there. Last week in Cuba, the communist leader of Cuba, who took over from the Castro brothers, gave a speech to the Politburo there where he acknowledged a collapse of the economy and a crime wave, that it's the most dangerous, perilous times that Cuba has seen since the revolution, according to the guy. Crime is up. The economy is down. Unemployment is on the rise. So one of the things I didn't know, I've never been to Cuba. One of the things about Cuba that is so interesting. Holy Lord, he's back. Please go away. Please, y'all. Oh my gosh. Okay. Just had a man face plant in my window. I've never had anything like this happen to me before. I've never had anything like this happen to me before. oh my gosh. Oh, okay. He's moved over to the next window now. I can't see him anymore. Okay. All right. So focus, Erickson, focus. There's a man dangling by a single rope with a harness around his waist outside my window with one of those little squeegee things that you wipe windows with. And he is like walking up and down the, there's not even like the ledge is like maybe 3 inches deep. And he's like walking across and he's got this little squeegee and I would be working as fast as he, yes, I would be working that fast too to get the hell off this ledge. Good Lord. You could not pay me enough to do that. There's no like scaffolding that he's standing on. There he goes. There he goes. Okay. Y'all, listen, I must apologize. This is not a professional moment for me. I am scared to death just watching this guy trying not to utter profanity on this radio station, losing my job, as this man is swinging like a trapeze artist outside my window, 10 floors up. I mean, if something goes wrong, he's going to go splat. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Okay, so in any event, you got Haiti, the Haiti situation. You got the Cuba situation. You've got the Venezuela situation. We've still got the Ukraine situation. The Ukrainians have been able to repel the Russian Navy, but the Russians are starting to make inroads into the Donetsk region to solidify that region. The Biden administration keeps dragging their feet on sending the weapons to the Ukrainians. The Biden regime is also now openly saying they've stopped sending weapons to Israel to force Israel into a peace deal. They're now open. Now that Joe Biden's not running for re-election, they're willing to say, we're not sending them this stuff. And you know what happened? There was a Hezbollah attack on a playground in northern Israel, and they killed a bunch of kids. And the Biden response has been, we need peace in Israel. Israel needs to compromise. How can Israel compromise when you got Hezbollah and Hamas killing their kids? You've got the Cuban situation, and now there's this. This is from, what's his name? Is it Mark Zandi? He's a analyst for Moody's. Well, he was an analyst for Moody's. Now suddenly this clip doesn't want to play. I know what the problem is here on my end here. Hang on. I'll get this clip working. But you know the problem with jobs out there? Turns out it's all the illegal aliens taking jobs.
Right now it's higher than 3% because we're labor force growth is booming because we have a lot of immigrants coming into the country taking jobs. And so labor force growth isn't, you know, what it typically is, a half a point. It's 1.5 to 2 percentage points. And productivity growth, you know, I don't know if it's sustainable or not, but right now, productivity growth probably also is close to 2%. So you do the arithmetic, labor productivity growth plus labor force growth, we're well over 3%. And again, that's consistent with the data. That's consistent with the rise in unemployment. And it's also consistent with the fact that we're getting a boatload of jobs every single month. And, you know, if you'd asked me 2 years ago if we're getting 150, 200,000 jobs a month, what would be happening with unemployment? I'd say it'd be going down, not up. Right.
Yes. Why is the unemployment rate going up? Got a lot of immigrants coming in, many of them illegal, taking jobs. So pause for a moment here. I will recalibrate my brain and not focus on what's happening outside my window. Let's hope he's gone now. There's a love fest happening right now over Kamala Harris in the press. Absolute love fest happening. They're using, and we'll get into this in the next hour, they're using J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are kind of weird. What's so funny is that the Trump campaign signaled they would cast Kamala Harris as weird, and the Democrats immediately jumped on that, pounced on that, if you will, and are labeling Trump and Vance weird. They're turning the tables on them. The media is loving it. It's a love fest for Kamala Harris. They're focusing on her. They're focusing on her rising polling. She's getting a goodwill bounce from people. Her likability is up. Trump's is down. The polling has the race basically tied. The media loves it because they're in the tank for Kamala Harris and they've reset. Events still matter. Events change things. And the issues, the fundamentals in the race haven't changed. Donald Trump is still more popular than Harris on immigration issues, on handling crime issues, on international affair issues, and on the economy. She's getting this love affair in the media, and it's understandable. They very much want her to win. They are openly rooting for her. They are openly revising their prior stories to benefit Kamala Harris. They're obfuscating the truth. But the issues still remain, and we're 99 days from the election. Venezuela is headed towards civil war. Cuba is collapsing in front of our eyes. You've got the gangs of Haiti overrunning this country and China eyeing the situation. You have the situation in Ukraine. You have the situation in Israel. You have the Taiwanese situation with the Chinese right now that continues to escalate. War is on the march around the world. You've got bad things happening. The economy in this country is such that unemployment is rising because illegal aliens are starting to take jobs away from Americans, and it's starting to show up in the data, and the Democrats don't want you to know about it. The crime situation continues to be out of control in portions of the country, and the left has just gone absolutely insane. So yes, Kamala Harris is getting a bounce right now, but world affairs, economic affairs, and crime in this country are still the issues on which this election will be run and won. And the issue of likability of the candidates will matter, but it's not just the likability of the candidates, but the competency of those candidates on these issues is going to matter greatly. So for all of you who are despondent, thinking, oh my gosh, the Democrats just upended this race and Kamala Harris is going to win, don't be so sure. Events change things. And if you look at the world on fire right now, those events could very much upend the Biden-Harris administration. And then you got all the economic issues out there, too. We don't even know when interest rates are coming down. We hope sometime in September. But with banks collapsing and others teetering on the brink, 22-year high interest rates, Swiss America wants to help you protect your hard-earned assets. They're the trusted leader in precious metals and have been for 40 years. They have a report, The Secret War on Cash, how the government tracks your spending with cash, how they follow you around with your purchases. It even applies to digital currency. It's kind of wild to know the things the government does to monitor your cash purchases. Swiss America can educate you on protecting your assets with their report, The Secret War on Cash. That report, it takes less than 15 minutes to read. It can, but it will be eye-opening. It'll also help you with your retirement and finances. Give them a call. 800-289-2646. The All-Out War on Cash, it does include digital forms of currency. The government is watching you. 800-289-2646. Just mention my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K. 800-289-2646. You can also go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric or call them 800-289-2646. Message and data rates apply.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever you are nationwide, if your business is growing and you're buying a building or you need an equipment loan or you're buying a franchise, things like that, they can help you and they can move fast. They make their own deals. They make their own lending decisions. FirstLibertyGA.com. Spend 10 minutes with them. See if you're a fit for them. See if they're a fit for your business. FirstLibertyGA.com. Okay, we got a lot of other stuff that we've got to cover. I've just been very discombobulated. Y'all, he's gone now. Praise Jesus, he's gone. Scared the... I nearly said a very bad word on the radio as this man swung around a corner I could not see. And if y'all, I'm sure, heard the thud on the radio, face plants into this window. It is carabiners, a harness, and like a mountain climbing rope. And this guy is swinging around this building 10 floors up with a squeegee and like a spray bottle, and he's washing the windows. It's very anxiety. So I don't like heights. When I was a kid, I was totally fine with heights. I can remember the moment when I suddenly realized I didn't like heights. I had a scoutmaster, Mr. Odell. Mr. Odell had been a Vietnam veteran. He worked at my dad's company. He lived up the street from us in Dubai. And we went out into the mountains. And on the other side of the United Arab Emirates, it's beautiful. There are these big mountains. And we climbed up a mountain. And we just kind of walked up this path. And we had to shimmy some. And we had to climb some. And I get up to the top of this mountain. And then I turn around and look down and realize... heights are not for me. And could not get off this mountain to save my life. They had to come help me down from the mountain. And I must have been 10 or 11 years old. Haven't liked heights since. I look out the window on an airplane and I feel perfectly fine. But I get to the top of a building and look down. There is no way I could do what this man is doing outside. And he's doing it well. I mean, it's like the Martin Luther King Jr. speech about the street sweeper. You be the best street sweeper there ever is. So all the angels in heaven look down and say, there is the best street sweeper ever. This guy is doing a remarkable job cleaning the windows. I don't know how much he gets paid. I don't know who he is. He is one man in a harness with a rope, mountain climbing rope, and some carabiners and a bottle and a squeegee, and he is washing the windows. I would never in my life even contemplate wanting to do that job. It is remarkable to me. So I'm thoroughly distracted by this, but he's moved on now, and I am too. When we come back, we got to talk about the weird. We have to talk about weird because the Democrats and Republicans are now, they're all referring to each other as weird. And the reality is, even presidents will admit that you got to be a little bit weird to run for office. And they all are. But the Democrats have seized this, and they're defining Vance faster than Vance can define himself, let alone faster than the Republicans can define Harris. And that's going to become a problem.